Okay, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 2 of the Frequent Players Podcast. My name is Greg, and I'm here with Chris, Sheldon, as always. Today's going to be a little bit of a quicker show, but it's not going to be any more light on content, so let's get right into it. The Game Awards happened. What can I say? They were decent. I wasn't too excited about them. They kind of went off track a little bit a couple times. What did you guys think, Chris?
I mean, I liked them. I didn't really care for the orchestra parts of them. The game previews were a little too much for me. I think they overkilled them a little bit. Could have did a little less of games. But overall, I mean, it was decent, as you said. I agree with that.
All right, Sheldon, what about you, bud?
I didn't mind the orchestra because it kind of gives it, you know, that – like it's a legitimate feel, kind of like the Oscars and the Grammys do. So I didn't mind that, but it seemed like they just didn't have a schedule. Like there was 10 awards that they didn't show and that they awarded after the award show, because I checked this morning. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Keighley, man, like he just was like, it was like go with the flow type of show. And some people were on the stage too long, like that one creator for A Way Out. And some of the trailers were just going on for, like, at least, some of them were around 5 minutes.
Yeah, hashtag fuck the Oscars.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, so let's get right into what everyone really cares about, and that is the winners of the awards. So let's go first with the best narrative. And I don't know what we all picked. I think I picked... if I'm not mistaken, I think I said Hellblade would win it. But the winner was What Remains of Edith Finch.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, this was a surprise to all of us. I mean, maybe because we all didn't actually play this game, but it is a, what, I believe, $15 game.
A $15 game, I think it's like four to five hours. I honestly know nothing of it at all.
Mm-hmm. But hey, it beat out a lot of good games. It beat out Nier. It beat out, like I said, it beat out a bunch of games that were actually full price. So, I mean, it's good to see an indie game or a $15 game actually take a big win. What did you guys think?
I mean, it was disappointing not seeing Nier win. You had Hellblade, you had Horizon and Wolfenstein. I'm just surprised Horizon didn't even take one category.
Yeah, I did notice that Horizon didn't win a single award. And it's funny because back when the game came out, they were calling it early favorite to win Game of the Year award, and a bunch of different awards, and it got slacked. It didn't even win anything.
I know. We'll get into that, but let's go on to the Best Action Award, which they gave to Wolfenstein 2, and this is what I predicted. I just think that this was a no-brainer. When you play Wolfenstein, if you want an action game, it's literally – that's all the game is. It's nonstop action. Every time you're on the screen, you're killing something or blowing something up. And to me, that's what a good action game means. It has to be fun, engaging, and had a great story. And that's everything Wolfenstein had. And to add the action element on top, it's just the icing on the cake. What did you guys think about Wolfenstein winning?
I mean, I'm fairly new to the Wolfenstein game. I'm like 5-6 hours in. I definitely think it deserved it over, what was it, Prey, Cuphead, Destiny 2. I think Neo would have been the only one giving it a run for its money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was a little confused about it because I understand, but, like, you know, first-person shooters, they tend to be pretty one-dimensional, even though Wolfenstein kind of takes the first-person shooter and flips them on its head. I was surprised that Neo didn't win because Neo is literally a spiritual successor of Bloodborne and the Dark Souls series. So, but if those games were in that category like they were in previous years, they won. So that seemed to me like it'd be a shoo-in for Neo to win, but it didn't win.
Yeah, I mean, I played Neo as well, finished that game, and it was absolutely amazing. It's just, like you said, you can compare it to a Bloodborne or a Dark Souls, but the thing I think that Wolfenstein had that Neo didn't have is the fact that it's almost non-stop. Like Neo, there's downtime where, you know, you're exploring, you're doing some looking around, and in Wolfenstein, I think you maybe get a couple of seconds to breathe.
Yeah, that game's right... just running through, man. There's like no stopping at all. It's crazy,
especially on the harder difficulties, man. It really is a fun game to play.
It's challenging
for action. What do you think, Chris?
Wolfenstein, yeah, nah, it's a hard game. I've turned my console off at least 3 times playing that game. it just it just it it just keeps coming and coming and coming.
Oh, man. So, well-deserved. Congrats to Machine Games and Bethesda on that one. So let's go to best art direction. This is what I think we all predicted this one. The winner was Cuphead. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I'm very happy for Cuphead. I mean, they deserved it, especially the way they made the game, hand-drawn animation. Like, yeah, I'm very happy for them.
I knew it was going to win, but I didn't want it to win. I wanted Persona 5 to win because, like, me and Chris know the art style in Persona 5, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Like, it is so nice, and I think it's up there in terms of, like, just quality, like, design and animation like Cuphead, but Cuphead's the only game I've ever seen that looked like a Steamboat Willie episode, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I have to say about Cuphead's animation is just from the small team that they had, they literally had family members working on this game, and the fact that they were bold enough to do all hand-drawn animations, all accurate to the time zone that they were aiming for, which is like the 1930s, I assume.
Yeah.
Literally, they said some bosses were a couple hundred frames, man, of just drawing the same kind of picture and just, you know, playing it back for the old-school animation. I think that's just... it's dedication, and I think it takes a lot of effort, and from a small team, it's actually pretty astonishing what they were able to accomplish. I'm proud of Cuphead. I'm happy that a small studio like them, like MDH, what is it, MDHR?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm happy for them, man. I wanted Cuphead to win. It's a great game. So let's go on right to, actually, let's go right to another winner for Cuphead, which is Best Indie Debut. Cuphead won that, and I honestly think that that was another landslide victory. I knew they were going to win that. Literally, you could tell that just from seeing that it was one of the selling points for the Xbox One this year, and it's only a $20 game. What'd you guys think?
I don't even remember what the other games in that category honestly were.
It was you had Slime Rancher, Mr. Shifty, Golf Story, and Hollow Knight. Yeah. I'm not familiar with indie, you know? Like, I was never a big fan, but Cuphead put me on the wave.
And Cuphead doesn't, even though it is an indie game, that doesn't seem like an indie game. Honestly, yeah. Like, it seems like it's almost as if it's a flagship Xbox One exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they were pushing it on that too. They were like, yo, Cuphead's going to be a great, great exclusive Xbox. So, I mean, I didn't really see much on these other games.
I mean, literally, I went out and bought an Xbox One to play Cuphead. So, I mean,
yeah.
That tells you a little bit something about the game. For an indie game, it definitely had an impact on a lot of players. I've never actually bought a console for one game.
Do you think they'll make a sequel?
They didn't rule it out because when I was researching, looking to see before I actually had an Xbox to see if it would come to PlayStation, they said this title will be exclusive to Xbox, but they said it doesn't rule out any future titles. So that means they're probably hitting at another project or Cuphead too. So I'm happy to see whatever. These guys are clearly pretty smart when it comes to making games. So let's go right on to Best RPG.
Oof.
And you guys are going to be happy about this. The winner was Persona 5. So let me hear it.
Rightfully deserved. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was Square Enix's like award to lose because they had two games in this category, such as Nier and Final Fantasy 15. If Final Fantasy 15 was accepted last year, I think it would have won this category. But man, Nier and Persona 5, that it was one of those two. They were going to win it. Like, it wasn't even close. And I think Zelda was in this, and it didn't win. So
RPG, nah. It was Persona, South Park, Final Fantasy, Nier, and Divinity.
Oh, Divinity, yeah. Original Sin?
Yeah.
Okay. So Persona 5, rightfully deserved. It's easy one of the best RPGs I've ever played in my life.
I mean... I'm a little disappointed. I'm happy Persona 1. Final Fantasy was a great RPG, but Persona is great. I'm just a little disappointed because I turned my head from the TV for 2 minutes and Jeff Keighley raffled off 6 awards and like,
yeah.
And best RPG was one of them. I just feel RPG as a game genre holds a lot of like backing by consumers. And I don't think it was given the justice it deserved as an award.
Yeah. Besides multiplayer, I think the next most played game mode is probably RPG.
Yeah. I would say like, so myself too.
So I don't understand how it didn't even, they couldn't even bring them on stage just to accept the word. So that was strange. And like I said, the whole show was, it was just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just weird to me, man.
I mean, I'm not a huge I'm not very knowledgeable on Persona 5. I have read a lot of reviews and seen a lot of recommendations, and people talk very highly of the game. I'm glad it won. I mean, it sounds like it deserved it. I know you guys thought Final Fantasy 15 was amazing, but we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, happy for Square Enix, though. They had three games. They took a win home. That's all that matters.
Yeah, the funny thing about Final Fantasy 15 that you kind of have to grudge through it, and then you're like, wow, this is an amazing game. Like, hours later, you start Persona, you're pretty much hooked. It's weird how they do it, but you're hooked off the get because the story is so engaging.
Yeah, man. Final Fantasy took me, I would say, 20 hours until I was like, oh, man, this game is actually the shit. But, like, Persona 5, if I turned it on, I didn't think I would like a game like this, but I'm completely, like, obsessed when I play this game. It just captivates me. It's wild.
Very interesting. But now let's go on to the gold medal event, the main event, the pay-per-view.
Here it is.
Let's go to Game of the Year, which, look, I already called it. I knew it was coming. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild took Game of the Year.
Won it off its name. Awards. That's the only reason why it won.
All right, hold on. So let me just start by saying I played every game. I had every game in the Game of the Award category besides Persona 5 I actually played. And I do think Zelda was – how can I put this? I guess you could say it was the best out of all of them. But like I said, today I jumped back into Horizon Zero Dawn, and it made me realize how much of a masterpiece that game is as well. So if Horizon would have won, I would have been happy with that. But I am happy for Nintendo, and I am happy Zelda took this win, because this game really is something special. And for people who haven't played it, it's hard to judge it by looking at it, because, you know, it looks like, oh, look, another Nintendo Zelda game. But it really is so much more than that. You really have to play it to experience what it has to offer. But that's my take on it. What do you guys think? Go ahead, Chris.
I mean, I'm a hater of the Nintendo, but Horizon, I wanted Horizon to win, but the story was just so shallow and it wasn't deep. There was no depth to it. It was a good story, but I don't know, man. I just feel like Zelda won because it had so many prior things to go off of. Like, there's been so many Zeldas, and I just feel like Horizon, this is one of their major games for Guerrilla Games. Like, right. I just think Zelda had a lot more going for it in terms of being a game, being established, and Horizon. I mean, I wanted it to win, but I wasn't blind. Like, I knew it was probably not going to win.
All right. What do you think, Sheldon?
Like, I'll give, you know, I don't hate Nintendo. I like Nintendo. I'm most likely going to get a Switch. But the name Zelda has been in the mainstream video game marketplace for around 25 to 30 years. So, and I still have yet to play this one, but I do not think it's better than Wind Waker, because people will say Wind Waker is the Zelda game, one of the best games ever made, and I stand by it because I play that game two times. The thing that bothers me is that Horizon was Guerrilla Games' first game that was not a first-person shooter, because they were known to be a first-person shooter studio. So they took mm-hmm. they took a complete chance. Sony saw the promise and the potential in this game, and it hit every stride. I agree completely with Chris that the story was pretty predictable, it was pretty shallow, but man, tell me a game that came out this year that had better mechanics, just sound with the mechanics, the whole movement fluidity, like everything that game stood, like how the grass moved, the game was just beautiful, and if you have a pro, it performed even better, whereas Zelda is essentially locked in at, I think it's 20 to 30 frames per second at 900p, on tablet mode and 1080p on the dock mode. So I still think Nintendo won this off the fact that people been wanting a Zelda game for so long, and they finally got the one that they won. So that gave them the boost. And the name Nintendo, this is the first Game of the Year award ever in the history of the video game awards. So congrats, but I take it with a grain of salt, because I think there was two games better than Zelda in that category.
Listen, there was tons of great games in the category. And like I said, I agree 100% what you guys said about Horizon Zero Dawn. I've never been more captivated by a game when I put it on. Like, that game, for everything from the character models to the designs of every little robot that they had. like you said to me last night when we were online, you were talking about that you'll never experience that moment in Zelda, like when in Horizon, when you fight a Thunderjaw for the first time and you see the size, you know, and you do the slide under it, you know, and take out the parts. On it. It's literally, it was surreal when I played. I had a smile from ear to ear when I played that. And I guess I kind of was rooting for Zelda a little more, but it took me playing Horizon today again just to really realize how special that game was. So I would have been happy with either, but I am proud of Nintendo.
And you remember the first time you had a fight? I think it's called the Reaper in Horizon when you first leave outside the camp, and it was the first. It was kind of like the Sabretooth of the machines.
Yeah,
dude, the first time you fought that, you're like sweating. Your palms are sweaty. Like you're like, holy shit, dude, my heart's racing right now. And then you finally take it down, and every kill in that game felt rewarding.
Bro, how about that spider walker you fight in the beginning?
God.
When like the whole tribe is like throwing spears at it, dude, that shit was crazy.
Just getting wiped out. I'm like, ugh.
Amazing game. Like I said, it could have went either way. I'm happy for Zelda. I am. Any last thoughts about the game of the war, the game of the year award?
That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really got much to say.
All right, then let's go right on to some of the world premieres and trailers they showed. So one thing is we saw, I think, a World War Z trailer for the game. What'd you guys think about that? Me, I didn't like the movie. I wouldn't be too intrigued to play the game. I didn't think it looked – it kind of looked like a like the zombies kind of looked like a little bit of a copy on Days Gone. I think we said it looked like Days Gone when it started, like – the formation of them and how they move, or maybe Days Gone took it from that movie. I don't know. I don't really care, but I'm going to save my next zombie game for Days Gone.
I think
obviously Last of Us 2.
I think Days Gone took it from the movie, but since Days Gone literally was shown off like 2 or 3 years ago, it's taken so long to come out that this World War Z game literally took the animation of the zombies. And it looks so shitty to me.
Like, what do you think, Chris?
I mean, wasn't a big fan of the movie, but I think it's a 4-person co-op survival. So, I mean, I think in concept, in concept, that's cool. But, like, if you don't got 3 of your main dudes rocking with you, I think this game's going to die.
Oh, my Lord. And it's not wrong, man. I hope it has. If it has a story, maybe that's something we would like to check out down the road. But other than what we saw, I wasn't too excited on it. But after that, they showed, for those of you who have a PlayStation VR, or I think it's coming to other VRs. Actually, I'm almost positive it is. They showed Vacation Simulator. If you guys don't know, it's by the people who made Job Simulator, which is one of the highest praised VR games that released within the first year of VR being out. And it's been bought by millions, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it sold 1 million copies. I played Job Simulator. I wasn't too much of a fan of it. Like, I don't want to do other people's jobs for fun. I don't know how that's fun. Hey, you pay us $30 and you get to be a cashier. I don't know who thought that was a great marketing idea, but clearly it was. I like more, what can I say, like more activity, more intensity in my VR games. But what'd you guys think? For a VR game, how do you think it looks?
I mean, I think it looks decent. I mean, I'm not too big on the VR. I've definitely seen better VR games. Mm-hmm. But even, like, when you were watching it, you made a comment. You were just like, hey, like, this doesn't look like a good follow-up. So
no, vacation. Like, what are you going to do? Am I going to go, you know, am I going to go on a pixelated beach and hit a volleyball?
No,
am
saying? Like, flipping
sip
burgers.
Sip a virtual coconut, like...
It's like, yeah, dude, I don't understand the market for that.
Yeah, if you ask me, I think that's just a trash decision, but we'll see. It'll probably sell because of Job Simulator. What do you think, Sheldon?
Games like that, to me, just seem like they're played by dudes who are, like, 35 and above, stuck in their mom's basement.
What the?
Dude, I don't know, man. It's just that's just a weird, like, just go just go on vacation, go to the beach, like.
Yeah, anybody out here that thinks about picking up Vacation Simulator, hit us in the comments and tell Sheldon that you're not 35 years old.
Yeah, just tell me, just say fuck off or something, because that game just looked weird.
So after that, what I really was excited for, I had no idea what exactly it was, but they showed maybe, I think it was like 15-second quick teaser from a From Software game.
Yep.
And I saw, I think it was like a lot of blood. It looked like something's getting tortured, maybe. Like, it kind of looked like a rope getting strung up, I guess, I think it was. And my first immediate reaction was, oh my God, we're getting Bloodborne 2. My immediate thoughts are Bloodborne 2, Dark Souls 4, or a brand new IP from Software. What do you guys think it is?
I thought maybe Bloodborne 2, but From Software is also notoriously known to keep longevity to some of their games by adding more DLC over time. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be in the Bloodborne universe, but at the same time, it looked a little too light. Because you know how Bloodborne was very gray and very dark? Like, it had more of a warmish color to it. So I couldn't really tell.
What do you think, Chris?
I mean, I'm very new on Bloodborne and all that, so when you described, you're like, oh shit, this might be Bloodborne 2, like, I'm probably going to rock out with that opinion for it.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Dark Souls 4, I wouldn't be as happy. Bloodborne was just one of the best games I've ever played, so I would be very happy if they were going to do that. But quickly, let's just talk about Firewatch's creator, Campo Santo, unveiled their new game in the Valley of Gods, which kind of looked like a cartoonish Uncharted type game where you're exploring. It looked like a like ruins in Egypt.
It kind of looked like.
Yeah, it actually had a cool art style. I was a big fan of Firewatch, and I love the storytelling. So I don't know how I'm going to enjoy this. I think the one thing I liked so much about Firewatch was how you didn't actually see your character, and you didn't see who you were talking to. So you had to build your opinions just based off conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was so special, and I think they should have stuck with telling stories like that. But I'm excited to see what Campo Santo has.
Would you say it's a must-buy?
Firewatch?
Not Firewatch, the new game that's showing, Valley of the Gods.
For anyone who's a fan of Firewatch, I think yes. Campo Santo has proved itself with that game. I think they won't let you down on this one. Other than that, they showed the trailer for another trailer for A Way Out, which is the split-screen prison breakout game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy who was screaming, fuck the Oscars, and he wouldn't be quiet. He made Jeff Keighley look like he was getting hot. Jeff Keighley was like, all right, man, I need you off the stage.
If you just turned on that like stream at that moment, you would have thought that guy ran the show and Jeff Keighley was getting interviewed.
Unbelievable. it was actually funny, but we are all excited for A Way Out. I think we're all going to play it. It definitely looks like a unique game, and I'm happy to see Couch Co-op is making a comeback strong with this game. I'm glad to see how it turns out.
I like the fact that if you buy the game, whoever you play with gets a free copy. I like that.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this game. I think it's the dude's second game at Hazelight Studios. I mean, I mean, it's bringing back that whole, like, me chilling with Sheldon, like, rocking out, playing this game at my crib. Like, I mean, I'm definitely excited to play this shit.
But I think we're all going to be excited to play it when it comes out. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about the awards was the fact that Hellblade did a good job winning some awards. It won best, what was it, strongest message in a game? Or, like, best social message?
Best impact in a game, best actress in a game. And yeah. I don't remember what the last one was.
I forget. I think it had two awards. It might have had three. But Hellblade is just, like, again, we're not going to spoil it for you. It's such a powerful game. If you guys haven't given it a try yet, just go ahead and do that for yourself because you won't be sorry.
Probably going to start a live stream of it maybe this weekend.
Hey, there we go. Check it out. And so that really pretty much does it for the Game Awards. It wasn't too exciting this year. I think that it was very unorganized. I think Jeff Keighley needs to take a step back and evaluate how he does things. Because I know towards the end, we were like, dude, is this going to end?
One thing we do need to discuss real quick, because I know you were confused on it, is the new Kojima game.
Yeah, I completely forgot.
Death Stranding?
Death Stranding.
I mean, I thought that shit looked beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, Greg ain't a fan of a non-gameplay trailer, but I thought that shit looked great.
Listen, this Hideo Kojima, I know he's a legend. I know the dude's a legend. I know he's made countless games that people call legendary games. He obviously made one of my favorite games, Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. I'm not saying I'm not excited for the game. It's just like, first of all, I still have no idea what, even like remotely, what
that's
it will be
point.
About.
That's it.
I know, but I don't know. I was hoping to see some gameplay, maybe to see how the game will turn out eventually. Like, I want to know what I'm going to be doing. Is it going to be action focused? Is it going to be exploration and story focused?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just interested for these things, and I'm not knocking the game. I, you know how I am. I'll probably buy it, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. As time goes on, I definitely thought the trailer was weird when it went down Norman Reedus's neck and you saw like the baby in there. That was yeah, that had me weird.
Dude, what about those aliens though? Like,
yeah, man, it was
creepy.
It was weird, man.
Yeah, bro, that John flipped the dude upside down.
Yeah, he tried killing himself. Then just stabbed himself.
Yeah, bro, that was nuts.
So, Death Stranding, I think they said it's going to release in 2019. There's no way that game's going to be ready by 2018. Because we haven't even seen a glimpse of gameplay.
The more we talk about it, I honestly think like either late 2019 or early 2020.
Whew.
Like it doesn't seem ready. And we've seen this for what? Close to every year for 4 years, 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been talking about it for a while, and I'm actually getting impatient. I really want to see what this game. I want to see what this game has to offer me. Honestly, I want to see what this gameplay is like. I'm very excited.
Bro, I waited 11 years for Final Fantasy 15, so I don't trust me. I can wait if it ends up being good.
So, yeah. So that was the Game Awards. I guess we all kind of felt they were cool, but kind of underwhelming. Other than that, let's get into what I wanted to call as our last topic of the day that I felt we needed to address because it's pretty relevant. For those of you who don't know, Detroit Become Human is a game that is about basically you play through a series of stories as, I believe, androids, people that are basically robots. And you go through a bunch of their lives. And in one of the trailers at Paris Games Week, it showed excessive child abuse.
Yeah, and domestic violence.
Yeah, so if you guys want to go watch the trailer, you can check it out on YouTube, unless they took it down by now, which I hope they didn't. But we need to talk about how people are saying that this game needs to be censored. It shouldn't be showing domestic violence, shouldn't be showing child abuse. Also, it's not just that. This isn't the first time we heard about censorship. The Last of Us 2 at Paris Games Week. Obviously, most people in the world are Last of Us fans and play video games. And it showed, people were complaining that it showed a lot of violence to women, which obviously there was violence to women, but it wasn't like there was.
They were defenseless and like they ended up fighting back and they actually ended up killing their assailants.
Yeah, so what I wanted to say basically is let's get our thoughts on, do we think these games need to be censored, or is it important to keep them exactly how the developers want? So Sheldon, you could start off.
To me, it's art. It's essentially art, and how someone portrays or what they think and they put their image into a game, like, that's just, it's not reflecting on current time, and they're not taking pieces, you know, that are happening today, because obviously domestic violence, that does happen. But they're in made-up worlds. And for The Last of Us, that is a dog-eat-dog world. Like, women are killing women. Women are killing men. Men are killing women. Men are killing men. And men are killing children. Like, it is what it is. Like, it's at a time where there's no type of government. There's nothing that can tell these people not what to do. But the fact that, you know, I get it. Like, it alluded to the woman who was being hanged, like, that she was pregnant. But she ended up fighting back, and she brutally killed her assailant. And going to the Detroit game, depending on how you play the Detroit game, you might not see domestic violence because it's a choice game. Everything is a butterfly effect. So you could, you know, end up dying, or you could save the girl and never have to experience violence. You can get her out the safe way. You can get her out the hard way. So. And it happens in movies, but movies rarely, they do get, you know, banned and people do get in trouble. But, yeah, remember, it's art and it's just a story that's happening in that universe.
Right. Chris, what do you think?
I mean, I think if a movie or a book can display, like, these graphic things, why can't a video game? I guess people are like, oh, a video game, a child is more prone to play a video game. But it's not like they're rating this game T for teen or E for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't want to see the game, I don't see why you just don't buy it. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't appeal to you. It doesn't appeal to you. It's not like you start the game and you're playing as the abuser. Like, you're trying to prevent the abuser. You know what I'm saying? You're not trying to glorify abuse. Like, you're trying to, like, help this little girl get out of a situation that's clearly not the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I just don't understand the whole censorship thing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the way I want to look at this is, I think it's an absolute bullshit thing to say to try to censor these people. First of all, in a country where you're allowed to make whatever you want, that's what makes it so great. You're allowed to make art any way you want, any way you see fit. There's, like Chris said, plenty of movies and plenty of books that depict child violence and stuff even worse than that. For them to show domestic violence and child abuse in a video game is not only relevant but important, because there's so many people today who are closed-minded and don't even know that this kind of stuff goes on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and for people who have gone through it or have experienced it, it's important that this is in this game, because it's bringing awareness to the issue. Mm-hmm. It's showing you that this kind of stuff happens on a daily basis, and there are people out there that are helpless. And it kind of gives you a role to be a hero. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's kind of like preparing us, I guess, for if we ever had to experience that or ever knew someone that went through that. It kind of like shows you what they would be dealing with, something that could be that terrible. Not only is that important, but I think it's extremely, extremely relevant in our world today, and it needs to be kept in the game. I think if they censor it and they fall into this trap where they feel like it really needs to be censored and they don't stick up for themselves, which I have heard that the developer actually is defending his work, but if he falls into it or Sony makes them censor it, I'm not going to buy the game. Mm-hmm. I would actually support full on boycotting the game if they actually did that, because that just shows that you don't care about you put into the game, that you're just going to listen to someone else that tells you to do something, you know, stick to what you know and stick to what you felt the game needed to have. I think you're allowed to do it and they shouldn't listen to anybody else. And with The Last of Us, listen, one thing people forget to talk about is context. You need, like you said, Sean, the game takes place in a post-apocalyptic, brutal world. People are getting killed the entire time.
Yep.
There is not a lighthearted moment.
Nope.
They said the theme of this game is hate.
Mm-hmm.
There is no light. It is dark hate. So, listen, it's been explained. If you're not ready for that, do not play the game. Violence towards women, I understand it's a big thing, but let me tell you something. It was women against women. Like you said, men against women. There's men against zombies. There's violence throughout the whole game. The whole game is violence. You're going to see that. And with technology getting better, it's only going to get more graphic. That's why it's rated M. It's made for mature people, not people that are going to go on the internet and whine about it. If you don't want to see it, don't watch it. Don't play
the
game.
And spoiler alert, if you didn't play the first game, Joel ended up shooting a woman point blank in her chest at the end of the first game.
Yep.
And no one had an issue with it at that time. And that was only 3 years ago. Like, if you're going to get hooting and hollering about The Last of Us, then you clearly did not play the first game. Because every single moment in that game, his daughter got shot in the chest by the government in the first 10 minutes.
Yep.
That game literally was shock value every single moment. It was a brutal, honest game.
Right.
That's why when I saw the trailer, when they showed it live, I was like, wow, I can't wait to play this, because once again, The Last of Us by Naughty Dog, the best company to me ever, literally just captivated me. They left my jaw hanging. And just the amount of detail and like the sounds and everything, how it works, it's just like astonishing and beautiful. And Naughty Dog will never back down. They're like, listen, this is our vision. You could hate it, you could love it. It is what it is, and we're still going to put it out. So I really hope that Detroit Becoming Human, they just take that approach and they don't fall to the backlash. Make the story that you want to make. It will be received pretty well because people have been wanting to play this game. So hopefully they do not censor the game.
I literally couldn't have said it better myself. The game, I think Neil Druckmann is a genius.
Easily.
To question his ability on this and to question whether he's not morally stable to make, you know, they think that this is something against his morals or something that he would put this in the game. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the first game, Ellie is one of the strongest girl characters I've ever seen, and she's only a teenager. I think they're going to make actually women look even stronger and more powerful in this game. And you could tell that that was evident by even looking at the first trailer that we saw. I'm very happy that they actually stuck up for themselves, both titles, and that they're fighting hard to not actually censor it. I do believe if anything gets censored, I am a strong advocate for boycotting, because I think that is as hard as that would be. Honestly, if Last of Us censored something, it would break my heart.
It would have to
not buy the game. But
I would still play it, but I'd be very disappointed.
You see, I really think I wouldn't. I'm so serious when it comes to that. I think people are allowed to make what they want, and if you don't like it, don't play it. They're not making you buy the game. So that's my opinion on this whole thing. It's very important to show social and real life issues in video games, because it's relevant. It's relevant.
And when you play it, hopefully you understand it better than just seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're in control of it. You depict and you direct what's going to happen. So hopefully people get, like, you know, they feel remorse for these characters, change of heart. Whereas when shit like that happens in real life, you know, you might just turn the channel off, or you just might, you know, like, look away, or you're desensitized to it.
Right. So.
And another thing, alluding back to the first game, Ellie was almost raped and killed and was going to be fed to a camp of people. Yep. And no one even batted an eye. And she was, what, 14 in the game, in the first game? Yeah, so.
That was just nutty, bro. It's just like people are just trying to suppress things, like they're not happening and not talking about it. That's just not going to help any cause. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's not fair to the people who have a creative vision. And I think it's honestly disgraceful if they have to censor their own art.
Like, how are you going to censor a mature rated game?
It just
blows my mind. It's like, what do you want to talk about? Lollipops and rainbows? Like,
maybe they have to add a rating that's just adult.
You know, yeah, they might have to bring that back.
Do we gotta bring it back? You know, like,
adult.
They had to do that with Mortal Kombat back in the 90s. Like, do we have to bring it back? Because if that's the case, shit, we're still gonna end up buying it.
Oh, shit. I guess we're gonna have to. Gonna need that 25 and older ID.
Oh my god.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
So let's move on to our final segment, The Last Life. You guys know how it works. Everyone's going to give you our final statement before we leave you guys. Sheldon, let's start off with you. What do you want to tell the people?
Today, what is at 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time, is the PlayStation conference, PSX. There's no conference. It's not like they have the conference where they're showing it off this year. This is the first time they're not doing it. They're just debuting, you know, games that they didn't show off last night, games that are going to be coming out in 2018 and early 2019. It's going to be live demos. You can watch the conference on IGN or Twitch.tv. And, yeah, it should be pretty good. You get to be excited. I think God of War is going to be playable. Death Stranding is going to have another trailer, I believe, that's going to be playable. Spider-Man might be playable. So it's definitely worth checking out and hearing what the major publications have to say about the little conference.
Listen, even if you guys out there don't have the time or maybe aren't interested in watching press conferences, it's fine, because guess what? Next week we'll definitely recap everything that's important
that comes from it.
If anything's worth talking about, you know you'll get it here. Chris, final life.
I mean, I'm gonna go into a little bit of hot take. I'm gonna say PUBG coming out with the desert map, I think that was weak. You know what I'm saying? Like, all they did was basically just put desert and dirt on the ground.
Preach.
I mean, the game's nice, like, don't get me wrong, but I feel like they put that map out to just hold people in for a little bit, because they just see Fortnite coming in, you know? Like, Fortnite's simplistic. I think it's better. I just think it runs better. Has that cool mode, you build stuff, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't their start-off game, like PUBG, and I think they adopted the Battle Royale thing, and I think they're going to surpass PUBG, honestly.
That's a hot take right there, man. You know, a lot of people
easily.
I think Fortnite's better than PUBG, but that's none of my business.
You know what I'm saying? Like, god damn.
Oh man. And I'm gonna give my final life to everybody out there who owns Horizon Zero Dawn, or has played it and traded it in. Listen, go get it back. I had it on my – I bought it digital because I know one day I'd have to go back to that game. And I went back to it today, and I literally had – the first 10 minutes of me just running around and
Brought back to the world.
Yeah, killing some stuff, man. I was just enjoying and the grass. Everything is so beautiful about the game. And it literally, like, I played it for 10 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I'm spending the $15. I'm buying the DLC.
There it is.
So yep. I just bought the DLC. I can't wait. I'm gonna probably play that all night tonight. I'm very excited to get into it. So everyone listening to this, go check out the DLC. Support Guerrilla Games because they had a masterpiece in the making. And so that about does it for us tonight, guys. So, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate every listen. Just a quick heads up. We are getting some better equipment in the future. Actually, the very near future. We will be eventually moving from Anchor. I know, sadly. So some of you who listen to us exclusively on Anchor, we're going to be coming to SoundCloud Podcast. We're already on Apple Podcasts. I think we're on Rocket Cast as well. We're definitely going to try to get onto Google Play if that's an option. So if you guys are only listening to us on Anchor right now, we'd really appreciate it if you would follow us with this move. This could be the last episode on here, but I'm not sure. If you guys follow us on Twitter at The Frequent Players, we'll be able to give you an accurate time frame when we will be leaving Anchor. Thank you guys for rocking out with us, and we will see you on Tuesday with our next episode. Peace.
Later. Peace out.